it's just fun to play. And I think it's fun to listen to. And it has a message that I think a lot of people can relate to. Mama said nothing good ever happens after midnight. I've enjoyed hearing people tell stories about when their parents say that to them. It's just an interesting phrase. My mama never actually said that to me, but I have enjoyed listening to the stories of others.
And Clint, are you happy with that as the choice for the Tiny Desk concert?
I am. It's a different kind of song, so I think that makes it a good choice. Just it always good to do something different if you can. But like you said, I think there's a lot of people have ties to that song. I'd never heard of that expression until we worked on this song, but we've been able to connect with a lot of people, a lot of audiences that are familiar with that phrase. So.
So you're working on a new album. Mama Said will be on this album. Besides this song, is there another cut that you're both excited about? Can you agree on one song that you think is sort of your favorite or another favorite?
Do you have one off the top of your head? I need that list in front of me.
You don't have the song titles memorized yet?
I do.
So if I say it's the one that goes like this, yeah, that would be a better cue for you.
Track three.
I think we're just really excited about all of them. We've been playing them live for a couple years now, and we're really excited to get them down.
Well, certainly there must be one that gets more audience reaction then.
I had a lot of fun in the studio playing on There's a Ghost in My Bed.
So
I'm looking forward to, because we play as a duo a lot, and obviously the instrumentation is much different, and we're releasing the Kraken on that one. I'll just say that, with the help of Kenny and Scott, helping us out on that one. It's a pretty big sound, and I had a blast playing in the studio on that one.
Well, let's take a listen to the demo version of that song, There's a Ghost in My Bed.
All right.
Why is this particular song one of your favorites?
There's ghosts and zombies and devils on this new record. I just like all the imagery involved in that. I always like to say that There's a Ghost in My Bed is my favorite song title of any song I've ever written. And the song is a little bit about just living with what's left behind when someone leaves you and being haunted by that a little bit, so.
You're both spending a lot of time in the studio. How is this process different than your time in the studio for your first CD, These Are the Hills? Clint?
Well, first off, it's all in one location this time, which is really nice. The first time we did it, we rented space and spent a weekend and then did everything else in another space. And then this time, having it all in-house in one spot is really, really nice. We're working with David Rossi at Bombsite Recording Studios, and that's always a privilege to do that. And
am I hearing that it's a more leisurely process, Karen? Is that what Clint's saying?
Yeah, we get to have a little bit more time. Also, I mean, we're working with the same producer, David Rossi, but the first time we did do half of it in his basement. So to have this dedicated space, it just feels better. It's a better vibe just to relax and be in there with him. So.
Also, another main difference is we've been playing all of these tunes, most of these tunes, for a couple of years now. So I feel way more comfortable, and as a band, even when we went in there, everything was just so much smoother. Just really knowing the material helped.
And what about the songwriting process? Here's what the two of you said when we spoke in June of 2014 on the eve of the release party for These Are the Hills.
Like I said, we just talk about what we want to do with it, what it possibly needs, and then so Karen will bring something that's, you know, this needs a bridge, but maybe just an instrumental bridge, or I need another chorus or another verse here, so I'll just add to that. And
so we bring stuff together, we work on it together, and then we take time apart, and then we come back together again. So it's together and it's apart.
And it seems
at the same time.
And it seems to work.
Yeah.
Are you still working together and apart at the same time?
Yes.
Is that still the collaborative process? It's not changed?
Yeah. I think it works for us. So yeah, we're still doing that.
So you'll come up with a piece of a song, you'll go to Karen and say it needs a bridge or vice versa.
Yeah. Pretty much that works the best way for us. We haven't been doing as much lately. We've been so focused on recording and rehearsals, prepping for gigs and things like that. But when we do write, I think that our strongest material comes from when we collaborate like that.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy in the studio with Stone and Snow, Karen Bridges, and Clint Thompson. You agreed when we first talked back in June of 2014 that the last release, These Are the Hills, generally had a melancholy feel, Karen. Can you compare this new release currently being recorded with the last one? Will it be more upbeat, about the same feel?
I think there are a few more upbeat songs, but I think it's still fairly melancholy, but a little bit more soulful. There's also going to be a lot more electric guitar this time, so maybe a little bit of psychedelic sounds in there. Some jamming happening.
So Bluebird is one of the soulful songs. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, I got some hand claps in that song. One thing I get to do when I'm not singing. I don't know nobody that can love me like you do. I don't know nobody, baby, that can love me like you do.
It certainly has a different feel than the rest of the songs, I think.
We've been really thinking about that one extra in the studio as well, as far as what we want to do and what we want it to sound like. And to be honest with you, I'm still working on that song because it's such a, it's a simple song, but it's complex as you want it to be. I guess it's one of those. So I'm still working on that one myself. And
was it a conscious decision? Did you say, I want to have a soulful song or something with a little more soul on this album? Or did it just happen?
I think that just happens for me. I grew up, I studied jazz a little bit and when I was younger, and so sometimes that soulful sound comes out in my writing. It just feels natural to me, so I don't go into it being like, I'm going to have to write something that sounds like this. I just think it comes out naturally.
And we talked about Ghost in My Bed. Is it me, or does that have sort of a bluesy feel to it?
I think there's definitely a bluesy feel to that. There's a bluesy feel to, what was the last one we were just talking about?
Bluebird.
Bluebird, thank you. Yeah. Is
that coming from you and your Chicken Shack background? You know, Chicken Shack, people who know Chicken Shack, they think of that as a blues band.
Yeah, I'm definitely influenced by everything I've done up to this point, and you know, I spent almost 9 years with that band. So, yeah.
And Clint, you take lead vocals on a tune, "Devil I Know." Let's take a listen to that.
I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna leave toward the devil that I know. The devil I know has always kept me. The devil I know, he won't let me, he won't let me go.
Tell me about this song, Clint. Is this something you wrote?
This is a perfect example of the collaborative songwriting that we do. She came up with a chorus, she came up with the title of the song, the idea of the song, and again, this is based off of an old expression. And then I took it from there, and I was really, really excited about that song, and just kind of, I think I started out thinking, I can see what I can add to this, and I ended up just finishing the whole thing, building several parts into it. I'm pretty proud of how it turned out. So,
the song is sort of about choice, choosing between the devil you know and the one you don't. On Hard to Fight, Karen, you sing, you don't know which way is the right way. The song Don't Know What's Worse is full of choices. What is it about these kinds of conflicted feelings and the songwriting found on this new album, or am I overthinking it?
Yeah, I think conflict is always a really good thing to write about, and it's another really good thing to make people think about.
Yeah, we have to make choices every day, so why not write about that?
Yeah, and I mean, everybody lives a lifetime full of choices. They land you where you are today, but obviously you'd like to go back and do things differently. But more importantly, it's about looking forward and what that's what this song is about. It's like you can make a change right now if you want to, if you really want to.
And I guess I should make the point that all of the songs we're hearing are the demo versions. The end result is still to come.
Correct.
With the album that you're going to release with a title that is being not released at this point. That's a big secret. We'll find out the title of the album later. And the new album that shall not be named is being funded by a crowdfunding campaign. Here's part of what you both say in the video at the campaign's Indiegogo website.
As an emerging artist, new and better performance opportunities require new and better music and recordings to support them. Being in a constant state of growth, but without the backing of a record label, we're left to finance the production on our own.
This is where you can help. Your donation is part of a collaboration with us and a way to support independent musicians and songwriters in a direct way. To say thank you, we've curated some great perks to donating, including apparel, photography, and live music in your home.
So that's part of the video at the Indiegogo website for the crowdfunding effort for your new album. If not a crowdfunding campaign like what you're doing, what are the options for musicians, Karen?
We'd have to find some way to pay for that, whether that's taking a percentage of our live performance fees or somehow getting a guardian angel backer somewhere to help us out with that. And unfortunately, what we're making so far, I mean, we're growing, but what we're making so far in live performance fees would not cover the cost of the album, much less, you know, our other expenses on top of that. So.
And this campaign, which is just recently wrapped, was a way for people to actually buy a performance, right?
Yeah, right. They could purchase a house concert. We'd come to their house and do a private performance for them. And also, we'd be putting that money straight into the record. So in a way, they have a really special part of that record and a really great memory of that.
Now that the Indiegogo campaign is over, doesn't mean people still can't have a house concert.
Absolutely. They can get a house concert from us anytime.
Just by going to the website?
Yep, they can contact us through our website at stoneandsnow.com.
And tell me how the Indiegogo campaign finished.
Well, we met our goal, so it helps us start off promoting this record in the black and instead of the red, and hopefully we will be able to use it to get us better performance opportunities and just get our name out there.
Your goal was $6,000?
Mm-hmm.
And are you surprised by, it wasn't that big an effort, was it, to raise that money? I mean, people really responded to this campaign.
They did, but it is a lot of work. I mean, when people go online and they go on Facebook, everybody, it seems nowadays, has a GoFundMe or something. Everybody's asking for something. So we really have to make it personal and connect with our fans personally to say, will you help support this?
And we're extremely grateful for everyone's help.
Okay, Clint, thanks. Karen, thanks for your time today on Sound Ideas.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much.